Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Truer words were never spoken. As we steamroll into our final hour of the week, thank you for all the nice text messages that we've gotten about the Sherman Smith story last half hour. I really appreciate it. I was really excited that we were able to share that with my listeners. So
that really was a beautiful story.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You want a story about the hand of God. That's it right there. All right. So let's get into the big lead at 2, and we do have some breaking news.
The big lead. Breaking news.
And Ursula asked the question, is this breaking news in our demographic? But I actually am somewhat familiar, quite familiar, with rapper Mac Miller, who TMZ is reporting has just died of an overdose. He was just 26 years old. A 911 call was made by a male friend from Mac Miller's home. He's battled substance abuse for years and years and years. And the reason I'm familiar with him is I might be the oldest guy in the world who loves ridiculousness on MTV.
Oh.
Which is where they just show a bunch of viral videos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People crashing their skateboards and all that. And they have celebrity guests. And they had Mac Miller at least once. And he just came across as a charming, funny guy. And so I saw him on it sounds ridiculous for a 56-year-old man to be talking about learning stuff on ridiculousness. But I love the show. I've got like 30 episodes on my DVR. And
that's actually the name of the show.
Yeah.
Because you like to see people get hurt.
I love watching viral videos of people crashing and doing scorpions. So, but anyway, Mac Miller, you know, just came across as, I thought, really charming. And then there was a song, I don't know, about 2 or 3 years ago, and I just loved it. But I never listened to lyrics. I just listened to, you know, the song. And so, and this is definitely the clean version. Right?
Yes.
Okay, geez. It's like just the perfect summer jam.
This is what you talk when you say Vegas,
yeah,
poolside music.
It was a great song. Then I started listening to the lyrics, and they're just filthy. They're just filthy. I should not be listening to songs like this. But this is the clean version.
Gone too soon. Wait, we was just hanging.
OD. He dated Ariana Grande for quite a while, and his drug use is what broke up their relationship, and he wrapped his big SUV around a pole a few months ago, and people were blaming Ariana Grande, saying, you should still be looking out for him, and she was on Twitter saying, it's not my job to babysit him. I, you know, took care of him for as long as I could, but she still loved him and all of that. And the other thing about this guy, Mac Miller, he's only 26. I think it was about 6 years ago. He's probably just a 20-year-old kid. He did a song about Donald Trump because Trump was hosting Celebrity Apprentice, and every kid, every teen, every millennial loved Donald Trump. So he did a song that was a big hit.
Hey, yo, Sap, what's good, bro? Me taking on him cause he started out here locally. Hopefully I'll be at the top soon. For now I'm at my house on the couch watching cartoons. You know how much you love it when you get it in.
So anyway, it's titled Donald Trump, and he adored him. Then the last couple of years, when it no longer was cool to like Donald Trump, he became the most filthy, hateful, anti-Trump person. So he loved Trump when it was cool, and then he hated Trump when it was cool. Which I don't.
I'm seeing people obviously are reacting to news of his death, and I'm just seeing a quote that he had when he was talking about fame and how it affected his drug use.
Yes.
And his quote is, "I'd rather be the corny white rapper than the drugged out mess who can't even get out of his house. Overdosing is just not cool. You don't go down in history because you overdose. You just die."
That's sad.
Oh, my gosh.
Many ODs today. Mac Miller, just 26 years old. Yeah, it's complicated. Got you frustrated. Get home late. You don't try. I have no idea how they produced and edited a clean version of this song. But it's a really great song. It's cool video, and I like the whole thing. So, Mac Miller, breaking news. Dead of an overdose at the age of 26. I know way too much about Mac Miller for a 56-year-old guy.
No, you don't.
But yeah.
And if you enjoy the music,
that's why
the
kids love my show, because I am so relatable. Because
during the break, you broke the news to your daughters.
Yes, I texted all three of my daughters, and let me get a update.
As soon as I said that person died, he said, "Oh, I want to tell the girls first."
Yeah, I wanted to.
I know.
Yeah, and they're very sad about it, as I knew they would be. So. There you go. It's breaking news. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
So the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States of America, Sound Transit, got yet another victory in court over the taxpayers. Sound Transit, as you know, they illegally value your vehicle so they can illegally collect tax dollars that are not owed them. And Pierce County voters who said no to Sound Transit, but they were part of a tri-county area, they went to court and said, hey, how about we not have to pay these illegal taxes? But a judge said, screw you, taxpayers. Let me welcome to the show State Senator Steve O'Bann, who joins us live here on Cairo Radio. Senator, always good talking with you, sir.
Well, I wish I were talking to you under different circumstances with a different ruling.
Okay, why are you so furious about this?
I'm furious because the judge clearly demonstrated she had not properly prepared herself. Her opening words before delivering her decision were, "This is above my pay grade, and I'm essentially doing the best I can here."
I tell you what, I heard that, Senator. And I went nuts on the air a couple hours ago. How can a judge, I mean, they're illegally calculating the value of vehicles, they're over-collecting taxes. How in the world can a judge say, I can't really figure this out?
This is too, and I was talking to plaintiff's counsel, very able lawyer, Joel Ardu, argued for taxpayers. I filed a brief in support, but I didn't argue today. And we were shocked that she didn't put more time and energy into this. I mean, typical Supreme Court judges deal with, family law matters, criminal law matters. This was a really important, meaty case to get her mental arms around, and maybe she did, but it sure didn't appear as such. So thankfully we have courts of appeal, and that's the next round, I believe.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but here's the problem. So let's say you prevail in a court of appeal. Then Sound Transit takes it to the state Supreme Court, where pretty much every decision is preordained, not by the Constitution and not by the rule of law, but by party. And the Democrat Party owns the state Supreme Court. And if this lands at the state Supreme Court, I can tell you right now at 2:16 on Friday, September 7th, I can tell you right now how the Supreme Court's going to rule, and it's not going to be for the taxpayers.
I have no comment.
Why not? Because everything I said was true?
Silence often means assent, Lori.
And silence makes for lousy talk radio.
You're right. I'm sorry. Sorry, listening audience. I'm not overly optimistic, but I always have hope with our judiciary that it regains, recovers its independence, recognizes it needs to apply the Constitution dispassionately and not with an eye to any partisan outcome or unions or anything like that. So I hope springs eternal, Dory, and maybe the Supreme Court will get one right here. We do have the Court of Appeals, and if that's where the next stop is, I think we have a good chance because they have a lot more experience in applying the Constitution than trial court judges.
Well, and I know you didn't expect me to take us down this path, but I love talking with you about stuff like this. I and I talk about this all the time on my show, I feel like our state attorney general should be looking out for the taxpayers. And when Sound Transit is doing stuff that's clearly illegal, when cities illegally try to pass unconstitutional income taxes, I mean, it seems like we have an AG who gives political cover to his party and becomes an attack dog against anybody who doesn't think like him.
Well, Dory, the attorney general showed up today through his assistant AG, through his designee.
Oh, you're about to tell me something that's going to infuriate me, aren't you?
I am. Okay. I am, actually. He actually, or his office stood there right next to Sound Transit and supported Sound Transit's position and argued against taxpayers. So rather than being neutral or passive, he actually stepped up today and supported Sound Transit.
Wow, that really does infuriate me. I did not know that. But I'm not the slightest bit surprised, because all he cares about, Bob Ferguson, is he wants to be our next governor, and he knows to do that. He has to court favor with groups like Sound Transit and with teachers' unions and with all the constituencies that he thinks are going to make him governor. You know, the law be damned. That's all that matters to this guy, isn't it? Are you going to be silent again?
I've seen cases where a statute is challenged as being unconstitutional, and rather than show up and defend it, he's not. So he picks and chooses which cases he wants to defend the constitutionality of. So don't let him get away with saying, oh, I was duty-bound to show up and defend this particular statute. He didn't have to, but he chose to do so today.
What do we do about that? And I'm really serious. When we have, because we have a great state constitution, I would think you would agree, we have one of the state constitutions that is best at protecting our personal rights and private property rights. But when you have an attorney general and a Supreme Court that are there to do the bidding of one party, what are those of us who are not part of that ideology to do in Washington?
Well, that is the problem. The Soviet Union had a great constitution. If you don't have officers who are going to enforce it and uphold it, it means nothing. And I'm not comparing our particular court or AG with that particular regime. But the point is, it's about men and women who honor the rule of law and don't care about what party interest is before them. They call it based upon the law and not based upon partisan politics. And you're right. We don't have that in the way I'd like to see it in this state.
Well, I'm just going to be silent in response to that, because a friend told me that often is assent. All right.
That's not good for radio, Dory.
Okay, well, I'll just move on then. Senator, it's always good to talk with you. I appreciate you coming on with me.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, State Senator Steve O'Bann, a disappointing but not surprising ruling by a judge that Sound Transit can continue to illegally calculate the value of your vehicle, illegally overcharge you for taxes for the people down in Pierce County who are trying to get out from under and who are going to see almost no benefit for the tens of thousands of dollars they're going to pay to Sound Transit over the years. It's another big screw you from a system that has become dangerously rigged. And I really do mean that. I think Bob Ferguson and our state Supreme Court have dangerously rigged this state as bad as any state in the union, because we really do have a great state constitution when it comes to your rights, your freedoms. But you have one party that has decided to completely abandon those principles of the law and the constitution. And I really do find it frightening, the condition our state's in. And yet, you know, my wife and I talk all the time when we decide to retire. I still love the area in which I was born and raised our family and all of that. I don't want to just bail. I don't want to abandon. But, you know, I got a platform. I got a voice. I can be the lone voice in the media wilderness who can call out all of this crap in our state government. And I'd like to make this a play. I want to die here. That's my goal. Stupid goal. Okay, next up in the big league.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
Yeah, I'm just seeing this story that Chris Daniels over at King 5 is reporting, and this does sound bizarre to me. The Seattle City Council, in what they are calling a substantial and surprise change. The city council has just said to the group that wants to do the remodel of the Seattle Center Coliseum, they just said you cannot start construction until a National Hockey League franchise has been awarded to Seattle. So the city council is telling the Oakview group that that's the only way they can verify the financial wherewithal and backing of OVG. But how in the world do you not have that all vetted before today? The group said, we're ready to go ahead with this remodel. We don't have to have a franchise anchor tenant. We'll do the remodel. If we don't get the team, we'll do concerts, and you can have political conventions here. You can do whatever you want. We'll rebuild it. And the tax dollars is relatively minimal. This is private money that's doing the remodel. There will be a lot of infrastructure around Seattle Center, and we'll have some money in the pot. But the Seattle City Council just this afternoon is saying, according to Chris Daniels at King 5, that they're not going to be able to start the remodel, which means that's going to delay the finish substantially. And delaying the finish might lead the National Hockey League to say, well, if we're ready to give it an expansion team in 2020, but you're not going to have a place to play, now Seattle's off the list. I tell you what, this city council, and I told you at noon today in the Big Lead a couple of hours ago, the other big story with the Seattle City Council was at the C is for Crank blog. They got a bunch of emails showing how the city council was conspiring to steal $40 million worth of private property, that being the Showbox Theater, how they were coaching speakers when they were listening to public comment. They were sending talking points to the lead singer of Death Cab for Cutie. Kashama Sawant and the rest of the council were conspiring. They were using private Gmail accounts to communicate about the Showbox thing so they wouldn't be using their city emails. And it turns out that they were conspiring to steal, in what is undoubtedly an illegal taking of private property, $40 million worth of property from the owner of the Showbox Theater who wants to sell it to the condo developer. So between that news a couple of hours ago and now this news that the Seattle Center Coliseum remodel is going to be substantially delayed. They cannot begin until the NHL says, you got a team. Or the NBA, if that were to come first, I suppose. But that's the breaking news this hour, and that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, and then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day, of the week, the entire week. Friday, awesome audio next. Sean, we just got a text from the 360. They want to know what was the song we played going into the last break that had a heavy synth lead.
Into the last break?
Yeah.
I'll have to research that.
Okay.
Okay. I can look at my history real quick.
Okay. I like answering the listener inquiries because it makes the show so interactive.
Right. Really makes us think.
We might as well do it on air because we definitely are not good about getting back to those
questions.
Shows how much thought
you research it, and if we have time, we'll give it at the end of Awesome Audio. How about that?
Sure thing, Dory. Anything for the 360.
All right. I prefer to say 360 because O's a letter and zero's a number.
Thanks, Dory.
Let's get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio, Clips of the Week.
And our Awesome Audio, as always, brought to you by our friends at Brown Bear Car Wash. Hey, go wash your car. At number three, there was one of those social media here. I'm really happy.
I know, it's really Friday.
I'm in great mood. There was a social media hearing back in D.C., and a woman came in to protest it. And one of the reps from Missouri, he had a unique way of shouting down the woman.
number three.
Ma'am, if you'll please take a seat or we'll have to have you, then you'll need to relieve.
President Donald Trump, help us. Please help us, Mr. President, before it is too late, because Jack Dorsey is trying to influence the election,
huh?
To sway the election.
What'd she say? I can't understand her. What?
Steal the election. That is why
she's
censoring and shadow banning.
How many 12 and a half, 15, 7 and a half, $20, 2 and a half, 5 and a half, 7 and a half, 30. Hit $30 down here, 2 and a half, 5, 35, 7 and a half, 40. Hit $40, 2 and a half, 5, 5, 45, 7 and a half, 50. Hit $50 down here, 2 and a half.
Officer, will you escort this young lady out, please?
Hit 2 and a half, down 5, 65, 7 and a half, 70. Up to it, I have now five.
I like that she's still screaming in the background over this.
$300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $300, $ have it half. I yield back.
Oh, that's as good a shutdown as you're going to get. At number two, a guy who used to be on The Cosby Show, Jeffrey Owens, job shamed because somebody saw him working at Trader Joe's. He said, there's no shame in work.
Number two.
By being this Cosby guy who got shamed for working at Trader Joe's, that's going to pass. You know what? That's going to, you know, in some measure of time, that's going to pass away. But I hope what doesn't pass is this idea that people are now thinking, this rethinking about what it means to work. You know, the honor of the working person and the dignity of work. And I hope that this period that we're in now, where we have a heightened sensitivity about that and a reevaluation of what it means to work, and that a reevaluation of the idea that some jobs are better than others, because that's actually not true. There is no job that's better than another job. It might pay better, it might have better benefits, it might look better on a resume and on paper, but actually it's not better. Every job is worthwhile and valuable, and if we have a kind of a rethinking about that because of what's happened to me, that would be great. But no one should feel sorry for me, either from a positive or a negative perspective. I've had a great life. I've had a great career, and I've had a career that most actors would really, you know, would die for. So no one has to feel sorry for me. I'm doing fine.
Yeah, good for him. No shame in work. And then at number one, this is at the rally in Montana last night, and President Trump, by the way, you know, great economic numbers again today. Economy's just roaring. CNBC had a big story about that. I am a little worried that he's having so much trouble saying the word anonymous.
Number one.
Is the op-ed published in the failing New York Times by an anonymous, really an ominous, gutless coward? You just look.
Yeah. Okay, those are our favorite sound bites of the week. We have a really strong close. Today's sign, the end is near, next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. If you missed the first couple hours of our show, I would encourage you to go to our podcast page, mynorthwest.com, the Dory Monson Show page. You can always get our podcast after we're off the air. And we talked with Pete Carroll from 12:30 to 1 o'clock today. And then between 1:30 and 2, it's one of the favorite stories we've ever been able to share on our show in all my years. And so I won't give it away. But check it out. If you did not listen between 1:30 and 2 o'clock this afternoon, go check out the podcast and hear the story that might be one of my favorite in all my years on the air. With that as mere prelude, you know what it's time for?
Today's sign that the end is near.
As you know, the way that I've become Seattle's most beloved talk show host is my wisdom. I'm wise beyond my years in almost every area. But there's one where I remain dangerously stupid. Why? Why can I not wait an extra 3 or 4 minutes for that slice of pizza to cool off? I cannot tell you how many. You know those experiments where they put a rat in, and if it hits the lever on one side, it gets a little piece of food. If it hits the lever on the other side, it gets a shock. And the rats learn the shock hurts. And so they stop hitting that lever, proving that when I have a scalding hot slice of pizza in front of me, I am dumber than a rat, because I'd need more than both hands and both feet and all my toes and fingers to count the number of times. And you burn yourself, because I know you've done it too, but you've probably only done it once or twice. You burn yourself right on the roof of your mouth, right behind your upper front teeth. Oh, and it hurts so bad. And I can't be that hungry for pizza that I'm willing to do that to myself over and over and over again. But I'm not alone. A brand new study from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission reveals that in 2017, an estimated 2,300 people had to go to the emergency room for pizza-related injuries. They cut themselves cutting pies, burned themselves on pizza pans, and fell in presence of pizzas. So if 2,300, I never have had to go to the ER. If 2,300 have had to go to the ER, how many hundreds of thousands or millions have had the minor burns like I've had biting into soon? But that's remarkable. The 2,300 have had to go to the ER for that. One time I burned myself so bad. So stupid. I burned myself so bad on the roof of my mouth. I called my dentist in the evening and said, "Can you get me something for the pain, man? Because the ibuprofen and the acetaminophen, they're not doing it. I'm in agony here." They told me to stop eating hot pizza. Today's science story number two. Here's another unfortunate injury story. Let's go down to Niceville, Florida. It's the village that's nice, you know. Responding to a house fire last week, Niceville police officers and firefighters encountered an odd sight. When the firefighters got to the house, it was 5:30 in the afternoon. They saw smoke coming from the inside. A naked man opened the front door, said, "I'm sorry," and closed the door. So the firefighters had to call the police. The police responded. The man came to the door again, left it open, went back into the house. According to the police report, the man showed no signs of understanding the danger he was in. There were several things on fire inside the home, including some towels. An officer removed the guy from the house. In the report, it turns out the man admitted to drinking 2 liters of vodka and smoking weed starting around 9 a.m. that morning. He then, while naked, tried baking cookies on a George Foreman grill, which he left unattended. The grill and cookies caught fire, so he put dry towels on top of the grill, and those caught fire too, and that caused the fire to spread. That's a shame. And then today's science story number three. I told you about one time I was down in Grand Cayman Island in the Caribbean, and they've got this place called Stingray City, where you stand in waist-deep water, and there are just hundreds of sea rays. And they give you little pieces of squid. And you feed the sea rays. They glide over your hand. These mystical creatures. And then they suck the piece of squid. Their mouth is on the bottom of their body. And it's cool. You go and feed the stingrays. So I decide to be with hot pizza and with stingrays. I am a moron. So I decide, well, I'm going to have a little fun and wrestle with the stingray. So I decide to hold the piece of squid really hard, really Just make the stingray work for it. And so the stingray, it can't get the piece of squid out of my hand. Well, I didn't realize that it had latched on to my skin with its suction, kind of right between my thumb and my forefinger. And when I got out, I had a little open wound from where the stingray had been sucking me. And it turns out stingray bites, sucks, whatever it's called, lots of bacteria. And I had a little open, I was really worried about it. I had a little open wound for about 9 months. I still have a scar. I'm one of the cool guys who has a stingray scar on his hand. I thought about all of this because I saw this story. A guy who's been left in agony after a stingray hooked onto his, well, his pee-pee. The man was in South China, the Hainan province, after his genitals were stung by the sea creature's tail. Do we have any songs about people being stung by any chance? Stung, sting, tomato, tomato. This poor man, he had just decided to take a dip in the sea to cool off on a sunny September day, when suddenly he was running back onto the beach. Stingray latched on to his private part. The ray had managed to get its barbed tail stuck in the man's shorts, and he was soon on his back in loads of pain. They have pictures of this guy laying on the beach. Somebody got a video of it, too. It's gone viral. As of this morning, it had more than 5 million views. Because who wouldn't want to see that? I got to get out of here. I've said everything that I have to say for this week. But I'm going to take the briefest of weekends and be back Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Our pregame coverage begins for the Seahawks season opener against the Denver Broncos. I'll be joined by all my pregame co-hosts. Kickoff's at 1:25 Sunday here on your home of the Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. Thanks for being another great part of another great week on the show. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you Sunday morning for Seahawks football. I'll see you back here Monday. High noon. And I will never lose my faith in you. Anna.
I'm a man. I'm sensitive. I need to feel loved. I need to be desired.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.